Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Rama Hare Rama
Hare Rama Hare Rama
Rama Rama Hare Hare
Rama Rama Hare
Hare. By the way, we are here together today. We were asking to give the class this morning, and I said maybe later in the week, maybe wait until Thursday. A little bit of a cold, heavy cold. But then when I came this morning, looks like you're doing all right. So I thought maybe it must be testing. I was thinking of lots of things. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. You think of lots of things. And something came to my mind. I thought, the person who gives a class often is going to be compared to like being a cow. And I thought, well, I'm the wrong gender at this point. But being like a cow in the Kirtan, Shastra explains it. Can anyone remember that story? Somebody became a cow and they were milking and taking. Anyway, so like that. I was thinking lots of things this morning. I didn't do a lot of chanting. Did a fair bit of reading, so there's a hope that you might get something from this cow. In your pot. And also I was thinking, if the cow had said something to give, then I was in difficulty. Like, but what can I give? I can give you swine flu, is it? Or something. I can give you all sorts of negative things, but hopefully you can give something positive. Yeah. Because that is the duty of a preacher. Preaching Krishna consciousness means to reach. Within the word preach is reach. So we have to reach. As we preach, as we preach, and we don't reach the heart of the people we are quote unquote preaching to, then what is the use of this show? We are not here to put on a show. Why are we here? Why are we here? Who can give me an answer? Why are you here, for goodness sake? If you don't know why you're here, you should be here. Why are you here? Why are you here?
To reach Krishna.
To reach Krishna is what?
To associate ourselves with Krishna.
To associate with Krishna. Great answer. Mahatma Prabhu, what are you doing here?
To remove all the unearthed devotees so that heart is purified. And Krishna accepts in this future world.
Another wonderful answer. Somebody, what are you doing here?
I'm happy about
that
because this morning I was inspired to
do this class.
Krishna,
Krishna. That is Krishna. And I can't say anything about my wife. Because I know I'm going to embarrass my wife. I wouldn't mention her. It's really nice to be here. Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir. We joined the society here in Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir in 1975. Both my wife and I took shelter of Srila Prabhupada. And Sisi Radha Balava, Sisi Gomitai. Do you know, I got an amazing disease when I used to polish. I used to polish Lord Nityananda every day for about 4 years. For 4 years we were doing that. And then I got a disease in my right hand, which is what the hands you use. And when I went, I spoke at the Shahs, still there, and I got this amazing infection. When I went to the hospital, they said, we have not seen anything like this. You don't know what this is. It had kind of the whole finger and it went onto the hand, and that was all full of Mahatma Prabhu. Maybe you remember. But it was all there, right up my arm, and at that time I had to go to the hospital to find out what was going on. But they didn't know. They said, we don't know how it's possible, because there was no abrasion, there was no cut. to get the infection. So I thought it was a little bit of purification. That's what the devotees told me, this must be purification for them. So we have lots of little stories. We asked Srila Prabhupada a question here in this temple. Srila Prabhupada was sitting on the Vyasasana. And I was sitting somewhere towards the back here. I asked Srila Prabhupada, in my Scottish accent, I've got a Scottish accent. It used to be a lot more Scottish in those days. Something a bit like that. And I said to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, how is it that so many young people are taking to Krishna consciousness, but there's not so many older people? And what did Srila Prabhupada answer? Can you remember?
For years
I've
been told. That
makes me sound a bit bogus. I was hoping you'd give me something. But anyway, everything is revealed. But Srila Prabhupada, he said something. You can trust me, or you can ask my wife to make sure in case I've said something wrong again. But he says, old fools. That he definitely said, old fools. And Prabhupada, it was really great because Srila Prabhupada preached for about another 20 minutes based on that question, so I was really happy. And he said, old fools. Basically, he was saying it's very hard, very difficult to teach old people. But young people are open. They're wanting to know, to understand, to learn. And then Srila Prabhupada called us all up into his room. All of the devotees, I think maybe there were 60 or so devotees, all packed into Srila Prabhupada's room. And then he said, all of you become guru. We were like, what is that? Because we were only children. We were just young boys and girls. All of you become guru. And this is our legacy, that we all have to become guru. Whether you're old devotee or new devotee, time will come, even if you're new or young devotee, you'll be old devotee. It will happen. And we have to be guru. We have to be able to teach, to pass on this fabulous philosophy, way of life, culture. So that it is not diluted and not diluted. It's not lost, not contaminated. I was thinking also that it's not the International Society for Australian Consciousness, not the International Society for Hindu Consciousness. And there's many more brown bodies now than there were when I joined. There was no brown body, there was only white body. Little Westerners taking to this amazing spiritual way of life, surrendering everything. But we used to try to present, we're not Westerners, we are Jivara Swarup Vaidya Krishna. I'm eternally the servant of Krishna, that is my real identity. His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Maharaj went to Srila Prabhupada one time and said, Srila Prabhupada, I thought that when I joined this society there would be no more discrimination according to race or colour. Bhaktivedanta Maharaj is an American Eagle body, black body. So Srila Prabhupada said, if you listen to them, if you believe them, then you... How did he say it? You're no better than them. If you think that you're black, then you know better than them if they're saying, oh, you're a black man, like that. In fact, Jiva Maharaj was very happy. He said, this was the guru that I wanted to be able to cut through all of these things for the material world. So we're not black, we're not brown, we're not white, we're not yellow. And there's no Australian suffering. And there's a different kind of suffering called Bengali suffering, or Gujarati, or from New Delhi suffering. We we know that there are certain types of suffering in different parts of the world, but it's all the same.
Yeah?
And for some time, Bhagavad Gita encourages us to see in this way. What does it say? Forgotten already. Brahmani Gavi Haskini. How does that begin? Vijivanaya Sampari Brahmani Gavi Haskini. Sinicharita Sapakita Pandita Samadashina. To turn it up. Can you turn it down?
Down.
Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Yeah, so that person who's really learned is teaching us how to see the soul, the jiva, present in everyone. And the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is for bringing that awareness to all the people of the world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is distributing freely pure love of God and wants it to overflood the whole world, the whole universe. But let's deal with what's in front of us, at least this world. So this is what is required, a revolution in the impious and misdirected lives of the people of this world, and that they are able to take up this chanting of Hare Krishna, this philosophy of the self and the soul. And to transform the world from Kali Yuga into Satyayuga, possibly, if it is able to be. So that is the job of all of you. Anirudha is getting too old for the job. And he needs some help. So he was pointing out to me yesterday, he said, we were up in the office there having a chat. He said, if you had a look in the mirror recently, Jai Shila. I thought, gee, he's a bit hairy. I might even have said that I view the look in the mirror. But he was pointing out that he said, we can't preach to these young people so much. And I was sharing here in Auckland, there's a loft, and you go to the loft quite often. And sometimes I manage to preach to some young people, and it works quite well, and they get quite alive, and I try to convince them that I'm not this body. And they can listen to me as a spiritual person. But there has been a few times when it's like I hit a no hit. okay, fair enough. And the person's just not really interested, very hard for them to relate to an older guy, been around, God only knows how long he's been around. But if a young person sits down beside him or her, and is full of life and energy and vibrant, and they can relate to them, this person is a bit like me, maybe a little older, a little younger, or a bit different, but pretty much I could relate to this. So it's incumbent upon everyone to... And there's such a beautiful energy. We've only been here for a couple of days, but there's a very vibrant energy here in the temple. Life, everyone's enthusiastic to chant Hare Krishna, to be together. And to push on these nice preaching programs, so important, so the availability of devotional service, to have the opportunity for devotional service. I'm just looking back and thinking and seeing how valuable that is. It's such a special thing to be able to engage in service. I've listened to Radhanath Maharaj, and he's telling a beautiful story of different Goswamis in Vrindavan. One of the Goswamis that were there, he was given the service to sweep by his Guru Maharaj, to sweep the pathways of Vrindavan now. And he was so happy to do that, to simply sweep the street. And Maharaj was explaining, he said, he didn't have a broom that you stand the way up here and sweep like that, like we had. But the word, what do you call those things? No, that's what it's called. So what's the word for the straw broom? You know the one that empty
chip?
A jaru. Yeah.
Is that what you call it?
Jharu, Jharu. Jharu.
That's what I said.
I'm a bit naughty. In Vrindavan I gave a lecture a long time back, about 6 months back we were in Vrindavan. And it was pretty funny, as one said. I got all enthusiastic and thought, I've got to give Krishna consciousness to these people. Lots of people from Delhi, the temple was packed up with all the people from Delhi had come for the weekend. So I'd read Srila Prabhupada's purport. It was a very small purport. And I kind of read all around the verses and got kind of thought the essence of what Prabhupada was trying to say. And I went for it. It wasn't a bad lecture, to be honest. It wasn't. It was pretty good. By the way, I forgot to tell you, I'm pretty humble too. Hare Krishna. I was smiling a bit when I was chanting Jayarada Madhavan. You might have thought I was being a little spiritual if you were silly enough to think that way. But what I was smiling about was my son was playing the Madanga, and I can Krishnagraja was playing a harmonium. As soon as Krishnagraja played the harmonium, I was in ecstasy. It was just beautiful. Anything can remind us of Krishna. Devotees chanting Krishna's name.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Chapter 10, number 14 to number 16.
Ataisham karma karinam.
Ataisham karma karinam.
Bhoktrinam sukha dukhayo.
Bhoktrinam sukha dukhayo.
Nanatvam atha nityatvam.
Nanatvam atha nityatvam.
Lokakhangam atmanam.
Lokakhangam
atmanam. How many verses are up there?
Two.
Okay.
Just chant the first.
Just chant the first one?
Yes, right.
Okay, thank you.
Ataisham karma ka. Srinam Bhoktrinam Sukha Dukhayo
Bhoktrinam Sukha Dukhayo
Nanatvam Atha Nityatvam
Nanatvam Atha Nityatvam
Loka Kala Ghamatmanam
Loka Kala Ghamatmanam
Atha
Atha
Thus
Esham,
of those
karma,
fruit of activity,
kartinam,
of the performers,
bhoktrinam,
of the enjoyers, sukhadukhayo,
of
happiness and distress,
nanatvam,
variegatedness.
Atha,
moreover,
Nityatvam,
Nityatvam.
Nityatvam.
Perpetual existence.
Perpetual existence.
Loka.
Loka.
Of the materialistic world.
Of the materialistic world.
Kala.
Kala.
Material time.
Material time.
Agama.
Agama.
Vedic literature is recommending fruit of activities.
Vedic literature is recommending fruit of activities.
Read the translation of all two verses. Srila Prabhupada's translation. Translation of purport. My dear Uddhava, I have thus explained to you perfect knowledge. There are philosophers, however, challenge my conclusion. They say that the natural position of the living entity is to engage in fruits of activities, and they see him as the enjoyer of the happiness and unhappiness that accrue from his own work. According to this materialistic philosophy, the world, time, the revealed scriptures, and the self are all variegated and eternal, existing as a perpetual flow of transformations. Knowledge, moreover, cannot be one or eternal, because it arises from the different and changing forms of objects. Thus, knowledge itself is always subject to change. Even if you accept such a philosophy, my dear Uddhava, there will still be perpetual birth, death, old age, and disease, since all living entities must accept the material body subject to the influence of time. Om Adinatya Marandasya Yandana Salakaya Chakshudangalitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guru Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master was forcing me to open my eyes with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his Lord's feet. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, purport. Just my luck, it's a very long purport. So I can't forget to read the purport at least, but it's a longer one. Let's see. In this verse, according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Lord Krishna speaks the following to Uddhava. My dear Uddhava, I have clearly established the actual goal of life in the instructions I have just imparted to you. There are those, however, who challenge my conclusion, especially the followers of Jaimini Kavi. If you are favorable to their understanding and thus do not accept my instructions, then kindly hear the following explanation. If you are favorable to their understanding and thus do not accept my instructions, then kindly hear the following explanation. Maybe we shouldn't hear it. According to the followers of Jaimini, the living entity is originally and naturally a performer of fruit of activities, and his happiness and distress are derived from the fruits of his own work. The world in which the living entities find their enjoyment, the time during which they enjoy, the revealed scriptures that explain the means for achieving enjoyment, and the subtle body through which the living entities experience enjoyment, all exist not only in manifold variety, but also eternally. Quote again from Jaimini, this philosophy. The living entity need not develop detachment from material sense gratification, either by seeing the temporariness of individual material objects and situations, or by seeing the material world as an illusory creation of Maya. According to such materialistic philosophy, material objects such as garlands, sandalwood, or beautiful women are temporary in specific manifestations, but perpetually exist through the natural flow of creation and destruction. In other words, although a particular woman's form is temporary, there will eternally be beautiful women within the material world. Thus, by carefully executing fruitive rituals according to religious scriptures, one can maintain enjoyable contact with women and wealth life after life. In this way, one's sense gratification will be eternal. No, please, no. philosophy, materialism, sense gratification is eternal. And all we have to do is learn how to achieve it in greater, purer ways so that we can develop sense gratification. The Japanese philosophers say that there never was a time when the world did not exist as it does today, which implies that there is no supreme controller who has created it. You know, this philosophy is very current. This is a very current philosophy. Quantum physicists propound this kind of philosophy. Through quantum physics now they've been able to go deeper and deeper into the study of matter and the study of phenomena of different varying degrees, subtle and gross. And they will explain to you that they are able to perceive through their scientific research and so on. There is nothing material, nothing solid, just like this cartel obviously is made of brass. It's solid. If you ever wanted something solid, material, this is it. Yeah? Metal. Not true. Scientifically, not true. Made up of atoms. Can't see it, can you? But it's made up of atoms. It's interesting how much faith we've got. We can't experiment to see that this is made up of matter, but everyone agrees it's made up of atoms. Why? Because we accept the authority of those who have knowledge of those things. Anyway, they've gone deeper and deeper, and they're able to perceive now. But although this appears to us to be solid material, it is only energy which is vibrating constantly. It is a constant state of flux. It doesn't stay static for a moment. It's constantly moving and fluctuating. The resolution of the density of it may be different from a cloud in the sky's density and its ability to change shape and so on and so forth. But even that which appears to be solid matter is not. So they're able to understand this fact that the whole manifest world is a manifestation of energy. And from there you would think, wow, that's what Krishna says. Bhumirapo nalo vayu kamano bhutinevas, earth, water, fire, air, ether is all my eight separated material energy. And there is a higher energy, the jiva, the living being. You'd think they would be able to tune into that. Yoga Maya Samavita. Krishna says, I'm not manifesting the foolish and unintelligent person. No. So they go along to this type of philosophy, which I mean philosophy, materialistic. That all we have to do basically is learn how to interact with the different energies. Basically, they propound you can create your own reality. It's the ultimate in positive thinking. They promote like that. Anyway, we'll get bored enough with Chinese philosophy, so I won't go too much further in that direction. But it's very interesting how Bhagavatam is speaking of these things, and it is very current, this kind of thinking. That we just have to learn how to manipulate matter and realize that that is what life is all about. The Jaimini philosophers claim that the arrangement of this world is real and appropriate and thus is not illusory. Moreover, they say that there is no eternal knowledge or an original perpetual form of the soul. In fact, they say knowledge arises not from some absolute truth but from the differences among natural objects. Knowledge, therefore, is not eternal. And is subject to change. The assumption hidden in this statement is that there is no spirit soul who possesses eternal, constant knowledge of a single, unchanging reality. Rather, the nature of consciousness or knowledge is that it undergoes constant transformation. They state, however, Eternality is not refuted by the perpetuality, the perpetually transforming nature of consciousness. Consciousness perpetually exists, they say, but not in the same form. Thus the followers of Jaimini conclude that the transformation of knowledge does not negate its eternality. Rather, they state that knowledge eternally exists within the perpetual nature of its transformation. They therefore naturally come to the path of regulated sense gratification rather than the path of renunciation. For in the state of mukti, or liberation, a living entity would not have any material senses, and thus the transformation of material understanding would not be possible. Such philosophers consider that the achievement of an unchanging state of mukti would stunt or paralyze the natural activity of the living entity, and thus would not be in his self-interest. The path of nivritti, aiming towards renunciation and transcendence of the material world, is naturally not interesting to such materialistic philosophers. Accepting for argument's sake the validity of such materialistic philosophy, one can easily demonstrate that the path of regulated sense gratification brings many unwanted and miserable results to the living entity. Therefore, even from a materialistic viewpoint, detachment is desirable. Material time is divided into different sections, such as days, weeks, months, and years. And by material time, the living entity is repeatedly forced to undergo the miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease. That such real miseries occur everywhere throughout the universe is well known. In this way, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Lord Krishna has pointed out the defect of materialistic philosophy to Uddhava. We may further elaborate that if one falsely accepts the atheistic philosophy of Jaimini and his innumerable modern followers, then the living entity perpetually remains entangled in the anguish of birth, death, old age, and disease. This bogus atheistic philosophy encourages material gratification as the only logical goal of life. But the living entity will inevitably commit mistakes in the execution of regulated sense gratification and eventually go to hell. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, personally tells Uddhava that this materialistic philosophy is false and irrelevant to the actual self-interest of the living entity. The next verse gives some more indication to connect to this verse. It says that although the performer of fruitive activities desires perpetual happiness, it is clearly observed that materialistic workers are often unhappy and only occasionally satisfied, thus proving that they are not independent or in control of their destiny. When a person is always under the superior control of another, how can he expect any valuable results from his own fruitive actions? Tribir gunamaya vivem evi sarvamidam jagat. Krishna said, deluded by the three modes of material nature, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes, and inexhaustible, infallible, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Our difficulty in trying to understand our situation, our existential situation in this world, this manifest existence, is that we are trying to understand from either the mode of passion, ignorance, or goodness at best. And we are trying to understand what is the supreme absolute truth. What is the truth of our existence? Devakinanda Prabhu was yesterday quoting many nice things. Atato Brahma Jignasa. To inquire into our existence, what is the source of our existence, is the business of the human form of life. It is the business of every living entity to make this inquiry. Human civilization is supposed to be structured so that every living being who has obtained a human form of life will be able to make this inquiry. He will be able to, or she will be able to ask his or her mother and father, why am I here, mom and dad? What have I to learn in this world? What a question. What will the parents answer? Nobody asks these questions. Do children ask these kinds of questions? Do they? I don't think so. Not much. Can you get me that toy? I want that toy. I want this. I want that. Rather than a simple question. No one is available to give the answers to these questions. Who am I? What is my purpose? Where am I going? What is life? What is life? What is it supposed to be? What is it all about? I think that they must have written so many songs. This is the tragedy of material life. And Australia is a fabulous place for getting that. Life's a bitch. You see, then you die. It's a classic Australian one. Bumper sticker. Life's a bitch, then you die. They know. Pasyati, na pasyati. They see, but don't see. Yeah. And they change it from life to life's a bitch. Deluded by the three modes of material nature, we stumble around. Nati vidu svakadatin hi vishnu. Prahlad Maharaj is saying those who are addicted to this materialistic way of life do not realize that the goal of life is to come close to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And to render service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the goal of life. To go back home, back to Godhead. To get out of this material entanglement and to be reconstituted, placed again in our original spiritual identity, free from envy and lust and greed and anger and all the horrible things of this material existence. Yeah? Unfortunately, Prahlad Maharaj explains those who are too addicted to this materialistic way of life, they take shelter of another person. Tanhaya tandeya upariya manas. They take shelter of a person who is also materially conditioned, bewildered, and they end up in a ditch. This is going on all over the world. Chewing that which is already being chewed. Again and again. Is it the Rudd gift government now? Is it? Yeah. Shame I call a boy. Or not. Yeah. So the Rudd government will do it. And what's the fellow over in America? Obama. We wonder what in New Zealand he gets really excited about politics. He's a good man. And he'll do good. Yeah, right. I'm sure he will. He is simply a fig. He is simply insignificant in the ability to bring true happiness and peace. Real prosperity to his people, to his citizens. They don't know what is the goal of life and what is the process for attaining that which is desirable. Someone in the mode of ignorance is thinking that he can, the government can bring in some legislation so that he can get his cigarettes and his alcohol cheaper, then he's happy. And this is true. We laugh, and it is sort of funny, but it's absolutely true. There's a whole spectrum of people, and that's way of function. Others are thinking on the mode of passion, that if somehow they can get government to pass legislation which will allow them to earn more money by their hard work to get that new BMW. Devotees need BMW also, you know that. I can't remember what it means. Maybe we have to serve Krishna with our BMW. Well, that sounds pretty good, huh? We can all have BMW and serve Krishna. It's a little trick one for serve Krishna with your BMW, his body, mind, and words. Sorry, boys. Serve Krishna with our BMW, with our body, mind, and words. So those in the mode of passion are hoping that there might be some way where they can become happy. And they can see the foolishness of the man who's simply hanging out for a few cigarettes and to get drunk on the weekend. They think how foolish this guy is. I know where it's at. But he can't understand someone in the mode of goodness who's not intoxicated and who is not working like a donkey, but is able to be okay in this world and be able to be not so much entangled, maybe inclined to. It's very hard to paint a picture of the mode of goodness in this world, to be honest. It's pretty well passion. You can hardly get free from passion. But anyway, somebody in the mode of goodness is not so addicted or attached to the ideas of intoxication, neither is he interested in BMWs and so on as a source of pleasure. You may appreciate nature, the simple things that God has provided, and so on and so forth. But he's still, whether we're A, B, or C class prisoners in the prison house, it doesn't really matter. We're still in the prison house. Whether we drink out of an iron cup or a golden cup, it doesn't really matter. So the goal of life is not to get as many toys. And the person who gets the most toys wins, isn't it? He who gets the most, whoever gets the most toys wins. No, that's not the goal of life. And it's so simple. The goal of life is to, oh boy, you've arrived just in time. Yeah. Do you want to know what the goal of your life is? Would you like to know? You're so kind. The goal of your life is to be very happy. Yeah? Sound good? Eat lots of prasadam. You do that? And to... Sorry?
Not that much.
Not you could eat a little more. So you can eat lots of nice prasadam. You can dance with your mommy and daddy and with your friends and so on. But there'll come a time. How old are you now?
Eight. Nine?
Are you nine? Oh, Hare Krishna. You're going to become 11 and 12 soon. Now something's going to change a lot in your life. Things are going to change. It's quite frightening, isn't it? It's a bit scary. But don't be shaken from chanting Hare Krishna and those beads, taking lots of prasadam and being with all the people that are doing that. Because there'll be a time when you'll start to think, oh, maybe I should go out in the material world and see what they're doing out there, because they look so happy. Have you noticed when you see all those advertisements? You see all those advertisements for the new computer and for whatever it is that they're selling out there? They all look really happy. That's called Maya, that's called illusion. They're not really that happy. If you can make an arrangement to go and see the person that's in that billboard and knock on their door and go and see them and say, I saw you on a billboard, you look so beautiful, and you look so happy, can you tell me how you're happy? Chances are they won't be quite as happy as you looked on that billboard. That's called Maya, it's called illusion. Everyone in the world kids on it, they're having a real good time. You go to the hospital and you go up to someone in the hospital and say, how are you, Joe? And Joe says, oh, pretty good. he's in traction, he's got his broken leg, he just got his back broken leg. He's lying there, how are you today, Joe? Oh, pretty good.
Pretty good.
Joe, for goodness sake, be honest, mate. Look at you. People ask me, how are you? Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. I'm nearly dying of this flu. And all of you will probably be dying soon after you've been with me. maybe that's why I'm sitting over here instead of all of you. Oh my goodness, my Krishna. So boys, yeah, things will change, but don't get in Maya, okay? Do you know what Maya is?
20 rounds yesterday.
How many?
20.
Yeah. Good boy. Good boy. But remember, the lots of fun too. So you'll hear about this thing when you as you grow up. You hear about balanced life, and you might not know what it means because you're pretty young. But it kind of means how to be spiritual, chant Hare Krishna, eat lots of prasadam and all that, and be able to kind of live in this world at the same time. So you might want to go and kick a ball, or you might want to do stuff. So you've got to learn how to do that. So have a lot of fun at the same time. Don't forget Krishna. Please. Okay? Anyway, that's a big subject now for the children. So fortunately, if you want to know what your life is about, you can get these funny guys to sit up here and make you feel all kind of strange. Or your mum and dad can tell you about it. You can get Srila Prabhupada's books and videos and stuff, and there's lots of nice sannyasis and lots of devotees that come and you can learn from them. And yeah, stick with it. Stick with it. Because everyone else is in Maya. Funny, gosh, I just remember something. I just remember the class that was given here from just about here it was. It was given by a young devotee. At this stage we used to have a kind of introductory class, it was the main Bhagavatam class, and then people would be encouraged to give a 5-minute class because the young people were just getting used to giving classes. So this devotee came up to give a class and he got up and he was 5 years old. His name was Janika, Ugrashava's boy, his son. So he got up, and he was 5 years old, and he started to give the class. And, you know, Krishna says in the Bhagavad, he was really good. And he kept it together for about 3 or 4 minutes, and we were all listening. About 30 devotees in the temple room listening. And then he said, he got kind of lost for what to say next a little bit, and he goes on. My dad said that all the brahmacharis want to marry Sukla. I mean, we couldn't believe it. And then he carried on for another 30 seconds and we had to get them all. Those were the days. Those were the days. He didn't give class for quite a while. We had to give him a bit of counselling. Krishna. So I will not keep you up too much longer because it's getting late. It's obvious to all of us that the philosophy of Jaimini and this idea of sense gratification being the goal of existence is not true. We are so fortunate, we are so blessed to have the mercy of the pure devotee who traverses this world and bestows his blessings upon all of us. So we have this. We know that this is not true. Our challenge is to develop the I was thinking of that also earlier this morning. Develop the real qualities of devotees. And that will keep us Krishna conscious. We've been looked after so nicely here in Melbourne. It's somewhat embarrassing. Mm-hmm. When you get served, it's kind of, you think, gosh, I remember I used to be like that. I used to be able to serve people really nicely. I should maybe try it again sometime. It's kind of embarrassing. But the devotees have been so nice to us, looking after us. And there's so many things we can have in Krishna consciousness. We have to learn how to speak boldly. Devakinanda, I'm terrified when he speaks. You heard him? He speaks so forcefully. Like, wow! I better get it together. And it's fabulous to be powerful. So we do, we have to speak powerfully. Srila Prabhupada is powerful. When I heard Srila Prabhupada speaking in his temple room, I heard God speaking. I was sitting in the back. And I saw this little Indian man sitting on this huge seat. Just have a look at it. It's huge, ginormous seat. And Prabhupada was so small, he was tiny. And Srila Prabhupada looks bigger there. And he just was this little, just beautiful little gentle person. Sorry?
Because a child was nice and good.
Yeah. When you get a bit older, you have to do that. You pad up a bit. Try and look a bit. But I remember just hearing Srila Prabhupada speaking, and I thought, that's not a little Indian man speaking. He was so powerful and clear, clarity, and he could answer anything, speak about Krishna. And I was, this is God speaking. God is speaking via, there must have been a wire going from Radhabala up to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada was speaking. He was not I wasn't listening to it. So Srila Prabhupada has given everything. And it is up to us to take up that heritage. As I mentioned at the beginning, he said, now all of you become guru. So we have to become guru. Oh, yeah, I'm bouncing. Please excuse me. But so many qualities we can develop. So we have to be gentle in our speech, but forceful in our speaking. What other qualities? Share. Please share some nice qualities that you can think of that the devotees manifest. Because they're so important.
Tolerance.
Tolerance, yeah. You have to be tolerant. Tatena kam bhavam susamikshamanam jana eva. That's one verse that I learned recently. Srila Prabhupada quotes it so many times. And we hear it from the beginning of our devotional service that if anything, any difficulty comes upon us, we should see it as only a fraction of what we actually deserve. Yeah? So Shastra explains in that way that if we are able to seriously wait for the Lord to bestow His causeless mercy upon us, all the time patiently suffering the reactions to our own passionate deeds. It's not this devotee that's causing me the problem or that one. That's also something we have to be really careful of, living closely to devotees. Because when you only have devotee association, then guess where all your problems are going to come from? It adds up, doesn't it? So, it's that guy's fault. And it's this guy's fault, and it's this girl's fault, and it's her fault. She said, and he didn't, he shouldn't have, and it couldn't, and it shouldn't, and it wouldn't, and it goes on endlessly. But if we are able to remember this verse that Srila Prabhupada always quotes, whatever difficulty we are experiencing is the reactions to our own past misdeeds. And it's only a small thing. We have killed so many cows, we have blasphemed so many personalities, we are full of lust and greed and so many things. And we come along to Krishna consciousness and we chant Hare Krishna for a couple of years and we think, oh, it doesn't work. We want instant, isn't it? It's the time of instant coffee, instant tea, instant. We want instant devotional service. Here's your package, take it, work in 5 minutes. No. We are carrying so much with us for so many lifetimes. And it is a special mercy that we are able to engage in this process, devotional service, in the association of devotees. So I am speaking some of these words, but I'm praying for all of your mercy, for the mercy of Radha Balaban, the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, that I can realize one thing, to actually develop some of the real qualities of a devotee. That would be nice. So if we just stay with those devotees, it will rub off sooner or later. It might be later for some of us. But when we see the young devotees serving so nicely and enthusiastically chanting and dancing, and these young boys chanting 20 rounds, God, it's so cool. Then there's still hope for us. So I'm going to finish there. If anyone has any realization that you'd like to share, don't ask questions. Tabaki Prabhu.
When you're talking about quantum physics.
Yeah.
So Rasaraj Prabhu, he had done a PhD on quantum physics. So yeah. So he was once talking, and after the class we met, and he was talking, he was the president of Bombay. He said that the scientific, basically, they're envious of each other. You know, one says something, the other one to see how to contract. Right?
Yes,
and this way, they become, I mean, they're basically envious from one and all, not only to the scientists, then God, even anybody. So he was saying that, no, the objective said is Kartar, right? We accepted that Kartar. He said, that's your perception.
Yes.
He accepted it. But, you know, it can also be paperweight.
Uh-huh.
You know, it can be, you know, anything.
Yes.
But that's a perception. So the whole quantum theory is to change the perception.
Yes.
That's what they're working on.
Yes.
To change the perception.
Yeah.
And that's a good point you made.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I watched some video of DVD or whatever it was. And it's very, I liked it because it really...
Very interesting. It's very interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. At a certain level, that kartal is energy constantly fluctuating. It doesn't have permanency in that permanent state. It just appears that way through our perception.
Yes.
Our senses are perceiving in a certain way. But through quantum physics, you can perceive it differently. And it's only energy constantly changing and moving, not dead. And Krishna's already said, that's the good news, Krishna's already said, this is my energy. Material, inferior energy. Now you should hear from me about the superior spiritual nature. Wow. Yeah, tell me about that, because I am fed up with the material stuff. Any other comments? Chaitanya Deva Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.